Welcome to the Child Free Wealth Podcast, hosted by Bree and Dr. J, certified financial planner. Here we discuss life and finances as it relates to being child free. This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Please consult your advisor before implementing any ideas heard on this podcast.
Hey, Child Free Wealth listeners. Today we get back into our series of financial planning, real life financial planning. This time with Rebecca and Matt. You are going to pick up with the first episode, and we're going to do these bonus episodes. You'll see them all throughout. They're going to meet up with me once a month and going to go through their finances just like I would with any client. One little catch on this. Rebecca and Matt were actually in my book, Portraits of Child-Free Wealth. So if you want to see their background story, pick up the book. It's in the show notes, or you can pick up a free copy at childfreewealth.com/book. All right, let's dive into Rebecca and Matt. So last time I saw you two, I just figured out it was about 2 years ago. That was when we first talked in the book.
Sounds about right.
You had moved and you were trying to figure out what's going on. I mean, I'm just flash from the past. I mean, I got the book there. You're right in there. But
exactly right. Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing. I couldn't remember. Time moves so strangely these days. I was like, how long has it been since we sat down and you were writing your book for the Profiles of Child Free Wealth? And we were here to just talk about, ourselves and our lives. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's been 2 years. Because I was in particular remembering that conversation, because I remember you saying some things during that conversation that were challenging, that were just like, hey, you could pay your house off in so many years with what you guys make, and me going, there's just no way. And, 2 years later going, okay, what progress have we made? What progress have we not made? What are we doing here? And I think the timing is right to just, come back to the table and do a health check. So
it's kind of funny when just random, hey, I put an ad out saying, hey, I want to talk to you about your finances. And now we're years later going, well, let's actually talk about them.
Let's do it for real. Right. Yep.
Give me kind of where you've been for the last 2 years. Last I remember, if I remember correctly, we had started a new career-ish. We were working sustainability and a few other fun stuff and trying to figure out the balancing act between the two of you. But 2 years is a lifetime. So tell me about you and what's going on and, frankly, why you signed up to, do this.
Sure. Yeah. No, I think last time we spoke, I had been in my kind of newer career path for, I guess it had been a couple of years, but I was still pursuing higher education, certifications and things like that, and information security. And a lot of the topics that came up, like I said, during our just kind of, what are you doing with your finances in a child-free situation, again, really kind of challenged me to look at our habits and go, okay, I've tried to DIY it. We've tried to DIY it mm-hmm. for as long as we've been together. I mean, we've been just self-educating. I think we both learned all about credit scores when Credit Karma became a big thing. We were just like, okay, how do you get your debt under control? How do you have good debt or debt that gives you, some kind of gets you on the radar of creditors and things of that nature when you're trying to buy a house and things like that. We were kind of, I think last time we spoke, we'd already been in our new home, but since that time, I think we've both kind of attempted to really define our goals better, define our goals as it relates to what are our biggest concerns with how we manage our finances. I think is the biggest thing that we talk about the most is just what are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? Especially I think for the both of us, we consider retirement as I think a lot of people do the kind of, this is what we're working for, what we're trying to get to, and we're trying to figure out if we're doing the right things to actually mm-hmm. earn a retirement that we feel is adequate for our lifestyle, as well as just the safety of feeling like we'll be taken care of in our old age. I think working for a financial institution, I've seen cases of, elder abuse of finances and things of that nature where it's scary. And that's when you're working with trusted family. Often you're in fact seeing people abuse their elders, their family members, knowing that we want to be in a place that we're taken care of and in a secure place when we're older is, I think, one of the driving factors where, I'm all about what am I doing today that's going to make way for the future that I desire for myself and my family. That's largely the driving factor of wanting to understand where's our money going? How can we get our debt under control and make sure that we're doing the right things at the right time of our lives?
Matt. Gave us a whole bunch, kind of Did she drag you here or what? Like, what's the story?
I would say so, in the sense that I didn't care about any of that stuff before I met Becca. After meeting her and falling in love with her and marrying her and all this other stuff, I wanted a secure future with her just as much as she wanted a secure future with me. And I think I agree very much with everything that she just said just now about securing that future. And that's something that I think drives me, and for the most part, just getting to spend all my time with you.
Yeah, I think we've encouraged that in each other, just from the perspective of, you know, we're a good balancing act. From, you know, I've always been a bit of a worry wart or a, you know, over planner, but as it relates to wanting to make a life for ourselves and for our family, like, you know, our dogs are our family, you know, making sure that we're taken care of has been largely the driving factor for a lot of the conversations that we have. You know, we're not super materialistic people. Not to say we don't like our stuff. We do. Don't get me wrong, but it's more of I feel like we can strike a better balance for our goals. And I think understanding where our money is going is in the budgeting piece of it. It's a big part of what I don't think we've ever really nailed down. Yeah. And I hope to achieve in some of these, you know, sessions with you. So
do we have a budget now, or are we just kind of winging it?
We're winging it. I mean, we have like a loose understanding of where our money goes, and we know when we're outside of that, if that makes sense. When we know when we're like, oh, yeah, you're doing too much, or
we need to cool off.
Yeah, we need to cool off, things of that nature. But as it relates to like having a real sense of like, what are all of our expenditures? What are our, you know, have to spends? What are our needs? You know, what are our wants? You know, we've never compartmentalized and really understood, I think, where we could do better, or where we could be more, I guess, aggressive in our savings. And in that particular piece, I think we, you know, at times we'll have a windfall, you know, of income where we'll go, okay, let's put this on debt. Let's do this upgrade for the house or go on this trip. And we're making conscious choices when we do that. But I think it's the day to day, the week to week that we really lose track of. So
there's no deliberate plan for the money. Kind of like, let's, you know, we jokingly say this, but just go with me. We're out earning our stupid. We're making enough money that we can get away with mistakes.
That's very accurate. Yeah, precisely. That.
And we're going to do a budgeting exercise in a minute, but in an ideal world, you know, if we got all your money in a place and it was doing well, what would that look like 5 or 10 years from now for you? I mean, what would be like, we know we made it.
I want to speak for you. I think for me, I think for the both of us, to a degree, we really have our sights set on getting our house paid off, mm-hmm. and being able to be more flexibility of doing improvements instead of just paying the mortgage, you know, doing, you know, we like where we're at. We like the neighborhood. We like the land. That's not to say we don't ever hope to move on from this place, but there's things we haven't even been able to consider doing to it that we would like to. And I think having the house paid off would be a huge goal of ours that we can collectively go, yeah, that's we've made it. You know, we've at least made it to a goal that we can point to and say that was a big one for us.
Matt, same answer or different answer?
Very same. And then we, you know, even further down the line, hopefully that can help us retire earlier, and we can spend more time in the house that we paid off.
Mm-hmm. And I heard dogs, but I didn't hear what type of dogs and what's their names. I got to know about who your dogs are. Seriously.
We got two Great Pyrenees. One's a Pyr and St. Bernard, and his name is Dovahkiin. That was my suggestion.
The big Skyrim fan over here.
And then we have Coraline, who is she's 3 years old. Our other one, Dova, is 7, and she's a full Pyr to our knowledge.
So they have a little bit of energy. My favorite part of the job, I get to meet everybody's animals. Yeah, you know.
I love that.
My wife's like, did you get to see it? What's the name of the dog? You know, like, she doesn't care about any of my clients, but she wants to know all about their animals. Like,
so funny.
you may hear our mastiff. He's above us moving now.
Oh, wow.
We have an English mastiff, but his energy level's on off the couch. That's, you know, maybe occasionally to the bowl. You know, that's about it.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's fair. That's great.
All right. So we got a plan for the dogs. We got to pay off the house. And then I heard we're doing some travel and all that. Or is that a priority? Where does that fit in?
Yeah. So I think, you know, we've really come to value, you know, experiences. So again, I don't want to say over things, but we're not trying to buy the latest, you know, phones or the latest cars. You know, we really kind of utilitarian when it comes to like the things in our lives, but then we love to take trips. So we've done a few European trips. We would like to continue to explore new places. And I think that, you know, every couple of years we make it work to go on a trip. And I think that that will factor into, to, you know, future plans to continue that.
So what are we doing? 10 grand a year in travel or?
Average, definitely lower. I'd say we've kind of, I say scammed, but we we play the credit card points thing where we, you know, we'll go and get credit card and earn the bonus and, you know, of course, not carrying a balance on it, but continue to kind of, you know, use that until it's time to, you know, move on from it. So we're not paying multiple annual fees and things like mm-hmm. that, but we've been able to get away with, I would say average, gosh, I'd say average like 3,000 a year if you're counting the big trips that then get kind of spread over every three to five years. We try to do something a little bigger. We did Switzerland last year. We were gone for about 10 days.
And then 10 days.
We did Ireland when we got married. That's when we did our big Ireland trip for 2 weeks. So yeah, every couple of years we do something like that. But yeah, overall, we don't do a large, you know, expensive vacation every year or anything. So.
Yeah. One more on the goals. Are you two good with the jobs you're in? We got to look at something new sometime soon, kind of, you know, hating what we're doing. I mean, like, where are we at?
I'm definitely comfortable with my job. It's not the greatest thing in the world, but it's also not the worst. And it, the pay that I get is good for the job that I do. It's got a really laid back attitude. I'm comfortable and like confident, I guess, with my job. Pretty happy with it, but not to say if something more exciting came along, you know, I wouldn't be ready sure. to jump ship and do something else. But
yeah, your overall satisfaction, I think the balance that that job brings to our family has been huge for us, where you don't have to drive a long distance and you can be closer to home, able to take the dogs out, able to, you know, do some errands, whereas I work 45 minutes away. And I'm also very happy in my line of work. I've been given a great opportunity to change careers, like I mentioned before, kind of later in life. You know, I was almost 30 when I got kind of this opportunity. And it's been a few years now where I really feel like I'm hitting my stride and becoming more focused in my job. So overall, very satisfied and definitely don't see any major changes coming.
Just a quick check. 30 something is not later in life.
Yeah, sure, sure. I feel like, yeah, you're right.
Can feel like
post-college. You're right. That's not really fair.
Well, I call it out because everybody gets stuck in like, I'm running behind or I'm doing it. And I'm like, what race? Like, this is one of those things that's different about being child-free is we don't have to follow the standard script.
True.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, on average, people have about 7 significant career changes in their life. You're only on what, number 2, 3? So, I mean,
yeah. That's true. That's awesome.
But I'm hearing in general, jobs are in a good place. We just want to secure the future a little differently.
Exactly.
One of the challenges, and we're going to do a budget exercise here in just a minute, but one of the challenges on budgeting is having goals that are big enough to cover, to say, hey, I'd rather do that than buy DoorDash. And I make fun of DoorDash a lot, or Amazon's my problem, you know, whatever your poison of choice is. Is paying off the house a big enough goal to help you change your budgeting? And what do you think?
It's a good question. You know, we do like our comforts. We've gotten used to, yeah, going out sometimes and having our leisure activities and going out with friends or whatever. But as it relates to, you know, could we cut back or even just understand, like, you know, you can still have that while also being a little more thoughtful about the frequency and the amounts you're spending, you know, not looking at a menu price just because you're, you know, you're out with friends or whatever. It's not a thing that you should be doing all the time. And all of that, I think, could absolutely, you know, our goals would supersede that habit. That being said, I think going through the exercise of actually understanding, and I think it will be a little eye-opening for both of us to go, oh, wow, you know, I way underestimated what we were spending on this or on that. And just being able to point to a thing and go, this is where I can do better would be a huge step in the right direction. Cause right now it's just a little too loosey goosey.
All right. Let me ask it one different way and just double check. What does paying off the house get you?
A couple of things there. I think, you know, being able to, again, I work in a financial capacity, mortgage and loans, and it's just like, being able to understand how much you're spending on interest over the years has been, didn't really understand that before working in this capacity. So understanding that, like, the sooner we pay it off, the less debt I carry forward is really, like, intellectually why. But at the same time, I think even being able to pay off the house and go, okay, now we can start putting away more for retirement, putting away more for a home improvement or our next home, maybe our dream home, right? That to me is like the byproduct of being at that point.
Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, very similar. Just being able to have that money for other things. Like, we both carry a lot of hobbies and we are quick to, treat ourselves. But then also hold an immense guilt right afterwards and just
true. Extremely true.
And
we never spend and then enjoy. Spend and then go,
could have used this for something else.
Right.
Not to say that we don't treat ourselves and then immediately enjoy the things that we have done, but sure. Often comes with immense guilt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did for a second. Here's what I'm going to challenge you to. We're going to build this as we meet more. But what I'm going to challenge you to do is figure out what life you want to live first, then your finances. Right now you're trying to let your finances drive your life. You know, what are the expensive hobbies we like?
It's board games for me, for sure. Like even just today, Kickstarter got me. It always does.
Oh, I've spent more money on Kickstarter. Sorry, don't get me started on that one.
Yeah. So similar. You know what I'm talking about. But it's just like, just today it got me. And it's just like, you could get the base value. Sure. But then there's deluxe and then the expansion. And then $30 goes to 90 real quick. And same with like video games. Like I love video games, but they are getting more expensive every year. I mean, every new generation. Price of games goes up, and I mean, every price of everything goes up eventually. But as far as expensive hobbies go, it's not cars or nothing.
Right. Like, I wouldn't say it's what you'd consider like a luxury hobby, but it's definitely one that over time you can find yourself, oh, wow, like our board game shelf just grows and grows, and we are like hardly have time to play all these. Although we play games together and with friends often. It's a time well spent, but it's also, it can get a little pricey. We also like to go to board game conventions every year, which, you know, I say we don't do a lot of expensive travel, and maybe we're only traveling to Columbus, Ohio or Indianapolis, but it can be a little pricey once you're there, you know, getting premium games and everything like that. So we definitely enjoy that together. And then I think my big hobby that becomes, again, kind of like a stealthy expenditure that I have only recently gone, oh, wow, that's probably a little out of control, is, you know, I like to entertain. I like to have friends over, cook meals for people, even bring meals to people, which it's not something I want to curtail necessarily, but I do know that cooking and baking in and of itself can be additional food costs that, you know, that's not measured in any way. It's not our day-to-day groceries. It's not something that we, you know, plan for necessarily. It's just families and siblings with lots of events and holidays. And there's always just something that I'm bringing a lot of food or drink or whatever to, and that can definitely, I think, put a dent in some of the money we have left over from our day-to-day spending.
By the way, I wrote your travel down as 5K because I think that 3K is an undershoot. Once you start adding in like Gen Con and a few of those others, it gets expensive pretty quick.
You know that, right? Yep.
It's been a few years since I've been there, but I remember last time I went, it was not cheap. Let's put it that way.
Yes.
You're right.
It never is.
And then you do Origins in Columbus?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep, yeah. Exactly.
Just making sure we're on the same page. Columbus is actually cheaper than Indy usually, but.
Oh, much. Yes.
We've gotten to like that one a little better. Not less only closer to home, less people. It's just, it's been a little bit more relaxing for us to go to that one.
We lived in Columbus for a while. So North Market's my favorite right across the road. And then, all right, let's do a little fun budgeting. Now, by the way, actually, before we go there, you're going to get homework after the meeting. So I'm going to include in the homework one of my episodes from the podcast on money guilt, which is exactly what you just said.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
You're going to get homework, and I'm also going to send you this budget after. Rob will actually send it to you. He's a paraplanner working on this. He's actually behind the scenes doing all this. So, and we're going to make your budget for the month of January. By the way, you may have to expand the screen so you're seeing the budget rather than me.
Mm, you're good.
Can you see it?
Yes.
All right. So here's how this works. We're going to start with how much money you're bringing in, and then we're going to bring in what we call must, shoulds, coulds, and won'ts. So, Rebecca, we'll start with you. Are you paid every other week, monthly? How do you get paid?
I get paid every other week.
Okay. Is February a two-paycheck month or a three?
February will be 2, March will be 3.
Okay. We're going to come back to that. Because each month you want to have a plan and it's going to change based on that. So how much is your take home each week? Every other week.
Take home every week is about 1,680.
And by the way, there's going to be some homework after this. I'm going to send you our financial information form. It's going to ask for copies of pay stubs, all that. I'll go through all of that because we're looking to see what, you know, where your expenses are, what's going on. But we're just trying to get with a high level. And Matt, how about you? Every other week or how often do you get paid?
I get paid weekly.
Okay. And is February going to be a 4 paycheck or a 5?
4.
And how much per week?
$757.
All right. So together you guys bring in just shy of $5,000 a month, $4,874 per month. Does that sound about right?
Mm-hmm.
We normally take 10% off top for safety and security, emergency fund, things like that. Do you have money set aside in emergency fund right now?
We do. Yeah. We have something to the effect. Do you want the number? We've got like, yeah. So we've got like $7,000 presently set aside.
We'll come back to if that's enough or not, but we need to finish off the rest of the month to get back there. All right. Next up, we go through musts. So here's our rule on musts. Musts are things that keep the roof over your head, you fed, or you're required by law to pay. So that's all that goes in here. So your mortgage per month?
That is about $865.
Okay. Does that include the property tax and insurance?
That includes taxes, not insurance.
Okay. How much is the insurance?
I think it's $90 a month. Okay. Yeah, $90.
And are you getting health insurance through work?
Yes.
So it's already taken out of your paycheck?
Correct.
Do you have regular monthly health bills you have to pay for any reason?
No.
Okay. About how much a month are you spending on groceries? Now, this does not include the party groceries. This is like the...
Sure.
If we didn't have a job or something, you know, we'd cut out that stuff.
I hear you. We haven't had a party in so long with this holiday season. And
this is why I'm trying to work through the budget.
That's fair. I estimate about $500 to $600 a month on groceries.
Yeah, $600 is what I'm seeing for couples right about now. Used to be about four to five, but that was about 2 years ago. Now it's
right.
Electric bill?
That is around $90 a month average.
Water, sewer, anything like trash, things like that.
I do have garbage removal about $46 a month.
Okay, gas, oil, heating.
Yeah, we have gas and electric. So we already did electric, right?
We can put them together, whatever works.
Yeah, so $76 for gas.
One of the notes on the electric and gas, if you can, they do budget bill where it's flat across the year. So that way you don't like get killed in the middle of the winter or summer where you're living.
That's what I was about to say.
They usually flip-flop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's my whole point is like if they were just the same across the year, we can actually budget it. They essentially just put aside the money each month. Mm.
Okay.
Do you have a car loan?
We do. Yes. We have one car. The payment's $290.
And how much is still owed?
Presently $9,000.
Okay. Any idea what the interest is on that?
Yes. Car insurance. This is for both vehicles.
So the interest on the loan?
Oh, I'm sorry. The interest on the loan is, I want to say 5.25. I have to double check.
All right, close enough. All right. And then auto insurance is next.
Yeah, that is $125 for both.
And then how about gas for the car?
Gas for car, we average about $90 a month. And actually, I want you to go back to home insurance. That's actually $148. I misread my spreadsheet.
That's okay. So the one thing I can guarantee on a budget is the first month it's going to be wrong.
Okay. Thank God.
We're always going to miss things. Or like first month trying to get a budget, like that's when like, you know, a tire blows or the hot water heater goes or something. Like
right.
Something right. Happens every time people do their first budget. Well, give yourself a little grace.
Okay. All right.
Credit cards. Do we have anything with a balance on it?
No.
Okay. I don't care about them if they have no balance. We don't carry balances. Student loans?
No.
Any other loans?
Just the house. No. Yeah.
Okay. How much mortgage is left on that?
$137.
Okay. And any idea what the interest is there?
Yeah, that is 2.95.
Okay. By the way, we pay off the car before we pay off the house.
Mm-hmm.
Just math-wise.
That makes sense.
All right. Anything else you have to pay each month or like the roof will fall in, you're on the street?
No, nothing else. I think one thing that we actually just started that I will call out because it's new, but it is a monthly fee is our pet insurance. So we did start paying pet insurance and that is around $140 a month.
One caution on that. It does not cover any pre-existing conditions in most cases.
Yes.
Yeah. I got to give you a little story and then you'll have to work it through. So our Mastiff, when we got him young, had the option of pet insurance. went to the vet, said, hey, would like to lose pet insurance. He's like, yeah, but he's got allergies. As soon as the vet put allergies down, pretty much nothing else ever covered.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Very careful, because if they can find a reason to say, hey, it's not covered, that pet insurance may not work.
Gotcha.
As an alternative, we'll discuss later.
Okay.
What my wife and I do is a pet emergency fund.
Mm.
So we put aside $3,000 in a pet emergency fund. And the reason 3,000 is because that's every time we go to the emergency vet, it's $3,000. Like, just, we had a pug who ate raisins. It was $3,000. You know, like, one of our mastiffs got cut in the bushes and $3,000, you know, just, but as an alternative. And if we're putting the pet insurance here, the one my wife and I have a battle on is, are the pets a must or a should? But they're a must. And she told me that I'll be on the street before the dog will.
I hear you.
Pet food and general stuff each month, for not like special treats. Like, my wife and I've had that debate.
Yeah, I did tell you that food bill. No, I'm just kidding. It's no, it's for grooming, which they need groomed every 6 to 8 weeks. It's about $150 a month for their food and grooming.
All right. So technically they don't have to be a must, but yes, I agree with you. Like, it's just kind of like,
I understand. I do. Yeah. We had a very similar, you guys are living parallel lives to us. We having Dover for 7 years, had this conversation when we got our second and said, should we do pet insurance or should we just do it like a health savings account? And ultimately what a health savings account was just like part of our normal emergency fund, which was like not the way to do it. And it never really got budgeted in, like I just talked about. So when disaster hit last year, where he needed surgery on his leg, it was $6,000 for surgery. It was, you know, that knocked our savings account down by a scary amount. And we had to go, okay, you know, what did we learn from this? And ultimately go, okay, he's only 7 years old. Like, what's, and we still debate, like, what's the proper amount of coverage here? Cause yeah, we're not going to go through any heroics if he gets cancer or something like that. But at the same time, you know, we had to do an emergency visit to the vet as well because he had an infection. And it was, again, that the ballooning costs were like, oh my goodness. And the whole coverage question, I think, is still in my mind of, okay, I know there's certain things that won't be covered for him regardless, but for her who has nothing on the books yet, let's get it done.
Yep. And we'll talk about that. So one of the reasons why I like using the pet emergency fund is it does set a limit. And I hate it that way, but, you know, our pug at the end, he had cancer and he hung on because we wanted him to hang on. I mean, that's the honest truth. The vet finally said, you know, he's ready when you're ready. And I'm like, but it's just some limit, whatever it is.
Some metric. Yeah, I understand. I do.
I had a St. Bernard and he had two bad knees and it was going to be $5,000 plus per knee and plus the rehab and all that. And finally, I went to another vet and he's like, listen, or you can put him in a house with one floor and Rimadyl and a few other meds and he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
management, right?
He's not really exercising, you know. He just,
sure, yeah. And like at Dova's age too, we've had the same conversation because not the vet didn't even finish the first procedure before they're like, the second one's going to need it in about a year, and we're like, we're probably not going to do this again, but we are going to put down area rugs and make sure he's being cautious on a leash, and like we're not going to do this again, but we know that we need to make some changes so he's good. And
yep. So I put pet emergency fund as a goal, let's call it that, as a priority. That frankly comes before paying off the house. All right. So your monthly musts are $2,620 a month. So that means to like, just like live, more than half of your paycheck's taken up there.
That's the cost. It is the cost of our lifestyle though, yeah. But I understand. Yeah, that's a lot.
I will tell you, it's actually not unreasonable. This housing cost, so you got a little over $1,000. Our goal is usually 130 or take home in a beautiful shape there. Grocery I'm not worried about. If we can get this auto loan paid off, that'll build a little room, but not unreasonable on the musts. But let's keep working through. Next up on the shoulds, and I'm going to put this, we'll come back to it. The focus on debt, we're going to pay off the car, but we'll come back to how that works. Internet access?
Yeah, that's $50 a month.
Cable, satellite, streaming?
No, but yeah, no. No cap. No, none of that. Oh, so I'm sorry. Streaming.
Yeah. That's why I had it in there.
Yes, definitely. Hold on.
When I first made this, people were doing more of the cable stuff, like satellite.
For
and I'm like,
sure.
Now
for
I don't have cable. I just have the internet streaming.
Yeah.
Collectively, it's about $80 a month.
Okay.
That's terrible.
I'm not as much on the board games. That is my my Steam account and other fun things. They add up pretty quick.
Yeah.
Cell phone?
Yeah. For both of us, that's $160 a month.
Hint, take a look at Mint Mobile.
Okay.
What network are you on now?
AT&T.
Yeah.
Take a look at Mint Mobile. You'll be able to, we switched to it. It was like it's $30 a person for unlimited.
Wow. Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Essentially that one, I get them backwards. That one's on the T-Mobile network on the back end. Verizon has a similar one. There's a new company. They're doing the same type of, it's prepaid for unlimited. Don't pay AT&T $160 a month if you don't have to.
That's fair.
If you can cut your cell phone bill in half, then we can add to the pet fund. Do you two have disability insurance through work?
I do. I don't know what it costs. It's deducted.
Yep. It's not your paycheck. How about Matt?
I think you do as well.
Do I?
I'll have to double check that.
When we look at your pay stubs. No worries.
Okay.
Life insurance?
I do. Yes.
Do you pay that work or is that a separate policy?
No, work.
Okay. Don't worry about it. It comes out of your paycheck. All right. Now, we put aside three sinking funds, auto repairs, home repairs and maintenance, and gifts. For the auto, newer car, what do we got?
Car maintenance, I'd say it averages about $90 a month.
$100 to $120 a month is normal.
We both have newer vehicles, so we've been in good shape with that.
Any idea what your house is worth overall?
I want to say around $220,000, but that's I haven't had it appraised. That we bought it at $200,000 in 2020, so I think it's appreciated a little.
So we usually do 1% of the house as a guesstimate for home repair. Any big maintenance need to be done now, or is it?
The house is okay.
All right, so we put $250 a month aside for that. Now, this gifts one, this is where it gets kind of, we're going to cross the line in between the family stuff and the gifts and the just spending. And we're going to have to pull this apart because of the way you explained it. Usually what I use gifts for is we got holidays, birthdays, Christmas, whatever it is. They come every year. And we know that's coming. But what we should do is put a certain amount aside each month into a sinking fund. It's just a saving account that we set there. And then we don't have that surprise. And like we have months where like all my family, all their birthdays are March or real close around it where we don't get hit. Are you two big gift givers?
I would say we aren't. It sounds bad, but we siblings and our families have kind of gotten into, you know, some frugal habits over the years where we will do small things. But yeah, even for each other, where we don't do extravagant gifts. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the frequency though, and then just, I kind of counted, you know, just like giving to friends in need or families in need. I'd say I counted that as gifts. I said about 100 a month once you even it all out, but yeah, we definitely aren't. That's not a huge thing for us.
That's fine. What we're going to end up doing is putting this all in a high yield savings account. I use Ally. You don't have to use them, but they have buckets where you can have it all in one account and then have a bucket for auto repair, home repair, gifts, emergency fund, pet emergency fund, which will help you. If we all put it in one lump, then it gets confusing of like what's what, and we start stealing from one to pay the other. Any other things you should pay for each month?
Nothing significant that comes to mind, I think, covers the bulk of it. I think we both have some like subscriptions and like I subscribe to a fair number of like security software every year. He subscribes to PlayStation Plus every year. But it you know, overall, I think it probably evens out to, you know, maybe another like 50, 60 a month.
I put $100 just for little space. Perfect. For you. I don't want the budget to be so tight that you're like, I can't do anything.
Right.
And we're going to miscount things. Like one of my guilty pleasures, like I buy all the streaming services. Why? Because I want to have them. And I've gotten better at canceling some. Like Apple TV, I've shut off 3 times because like I run through the whole thing and I'm like, there's nothing left. But like Netflix and Hulu, and we've got them all, you know, so balancing act. All right. What that tells me is you two have $3,500 of expenses every single month just to exist. Sound about right?
Yeah.
Now, if I looked at your, do you have other savings besides the emergency fund? Not talking accounts.
Yeah, of course. I think we have like maybe $1,000 in another account, but
like $1,000.
Yeah, not a significant number. Yeah.
So if I looked at this last year, same time a year ago, is it? So we got $8,000 in cash hanging around. Was it higher or lower a year ago?
I think it's a little lower. I will say the past 2 years, we had probably double that at one point. And then my car transmission went out and I had to pay for that. And then I actually traded in and using a good chunk of that, you know, my car that was fairly new when I got it. We were able to put like $10,000 down on it. So it was like, that took, you know, it was a good use of our savings from the perspective of not taking on a huge loan for that car that I needed a new one for. That said, then the following year, same thing, we had more than like $12,000 in our savings, and then it got bumped back because of the dog's surgery. So we've averaged, we haven't gone under seven, but we haven't kept it any higher.
What that tells me is last year you spent about $20,000 on stuff. I don't know what stuff it is, but just stuff, which $3,000-$5,000 of that was the travel. So $15,000 on mindless spending. How do you feel about that?
That's why we're here. We were trying to figure out what that feels bad. I mean, it feels like not having control over.
Yeah, it feels like I should have more things to enjoy when I really don't.
You do. You're just in Kickstarters, and they're still going to come out in 2 years.
That's right. Yeah, I have about a couple more months and years and everything just before I see anything. So you're right there.
Right. Rebecca, what's your total income for the year? Before taxes?
90,000.
Okay. And Matt?
I think around, what, 42, 48?
45.
45?
Because I'm just doing a little exercise here. You're bringing 135. We're spending about 20 of it mindlessly. So what that tells me is we're spending half of Matt's paycheck each year on mindless spending. Mm.
That is what that feels like.
That does feel that way.
Matt, the first 6 months of the year is going to poof.
Yeah. I mean, as it should, it feels like.
one of the things with money is like, we have to, if we don't have a plan for it, my mom used to always joke about, you got a hole in your pocket and just falls out. If we don't have a plan for it,
the number of times we go, oh, we've got, an excess in our checking, let's move some to the savings. You know, that happens several times a year where we move maybe a larger piece over. More often than that, I think we just fritter it away, not thinking. Yeah.
Well, and that's why I use the measure of your total savings.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're going to use the net worth measure eventually, but I'm just starting and saying, look, over the year, you've said it, this total is down. We had some bunch of things in your life. So I kind of ignored the stuff you took from savings. The question is, do you want to put 20 grand towards stuff, or do you want to put 20 grand towards paying off the car, paying off the house?
Right. Absolutely. Could definitely be better used.
Absolutely. Yep.
I mean, that's just the debate. I'm not giving you an answer. I'm just kind of like,
right.
No, I think, yeah, I understand. I think it's, we have to ask ourselves that because there's a balance of the things that we treat ourselves with or just, don't think twice to go out to lunch with mom or whatever, the things that enrich our lives, not saying we would give every piece of that up, but at the same time, there's knowing that we're doing it intentionally is the whole game. We got to just know we're doing it with intent and we're putting our priorities where they belong. I think one of the large, this probably goes beyond the topic of this discussion, but my income, I have, and this started probably in 2020, maybe right before we first met you and talked to you, I started contributing like 20%+ of my income to my retirement fund. So a big piece of my income does intentionally go into retirement. And that being said, I want to understand, was that the right thing to do when I still have a car payment, and the right thing to do when I still have quite a ways to go on the house? It's just, that's, and I know there's no surefire answer, but I that's one of the things I endeavor to understand better. So.
We'll pull it apart. And so one of the things you'll upload in the financial information form is you'll upload last year's taxes, and we'll actually do a tax plan, which will tell you some of those choices. So for example, paying off the car is 5.25% risk-free, tax-free return.
Right.
That's going to be a debate.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's, I'm not giving you an answer right this second.
Sure.
But I would probably pay off the car, pay off the house. I'd probably do the retirement set, so we'll work through
it. I hear you. Okay.
What we really need to get to is our emergency fund, our goal. Probably, so if we do 6 months of your expenses, that's $24,000 in there, $3,000 in the pet emergency fund. And then what would happen is all those random things that happen in your life, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
The whole point of having a fully funded emergency fund is it turns an emergency into a just annoyance.
Mm-hmm. That's the idea.
You got $3,000 aside for the pets. If they get hurt, you can worry about the pet and don't worry about the money. Like,
right.
That's the type of thing.
Yeah. And that's ultimately what we endeavored to do and then kind of failed to do from the perspective of, it's like, well, yeah, we had excess in our I say excess. We had a fairly substantial, maybe 12,000 in our savings. And then it was like, you get that estimate from the vet and you're like, oh man, that's going to take us down by half. And we didn't really intend for that or plan for that, of course. So it's more of a, yeah, how do you make sure that money's set aside and not really budgeted for something else in your mind that's not really what it's going to end up going for.
We're going to work back to this, but I'm just trying to set some goals. Here's what this says. You got about $487 that can go to safety and security. I would argue right now that should go to paying off the car. So here's the reason. If we have money that's sitting in the emergency fund, yeah, maybe we get 4 or 5% on in high yield savings, but the car right now is at a 5.25% interest, and that's tax-free if you just pay that off. I'd be making a priority to pay this off and then working on paying off the, or building the emergency fund and the pet emergency fund.
Okay.
What's your thought on that?
I think it makes sense. I think we've gotten into the habit of waiting for the windfalls to go, okay, now's the time to pay down a big chunk of principal on the car. And we did that for his car. That was a loan we took out years ago now. It's been paid off for probably 2-3 years now, your car. We've paid off several vehicles in our time together, but it's been more of a, when you have just a big windfall of money where you're like, just throw it at this debt. And then we've had that happen a few times where we've been able to knock it out. I think being more structured and going, okay, you can find this money now, like over time, and just, you know, not wait for the bonus or the tax return to really knock it out.
Well, that was my question. Where's the windfalls coming from? Like, do we have like a rich uncle dropping off cash?
No.
Did you guys find that child-free fairy that just dropped off checks, supposedly?
You would. No, right. Well, it's a good question. And this is another one that's probably going to be a bad look, but the nature of it is I've never really understood like tax withholding to the degree that I should have. So I've always kind of done a little more than is necessary. And I know that's not the best financial move, but for me, it makes sure that I don't owe money when it comes time for tax season. And so, you know, every year I might have a $2,000 return. And it's just like, that's, you know, become more of a, I hate to say like a built-in, you know, little bonus for us to be able to do something like pay off our debt or do something to the house or whatever the case may be. But that's one aspect. And then, yeah, I get a biannual bonus. So
how much is your bonus?
Take home.
Is that out of this 90 or is that?
No, that's in addition to it's gross 10,000. I think take home is probably like 6,500, maybe. I don't know.
Here's the little thing on that. That means you're spending $35,000 a year on stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shoot. Yeah, I didn't add that.
It's worse.
Well, no, I mean, like, you're like, I got an extra 10 grand hand over here. I didn't tell you about, you know.
Yeah.
What we're going to do is when are you getting your next bonus?
So I'm going to get my next bonus probably Friday.
Okay. Then you pay off the car.
Yeah. Let me be clear. So the 10,000 is twice a year. 10,000 I get for both. I get five at 1.5 mid-year. Oh. Yeah. It'll be less than that. And that's pre-tax. It'll be more modest than that. But the plan is to put it on the car. Yeah.
Okay. Where I'm going with this is we're going to end up with a plan for bonus or extra or third checks. And what's going to happen is the number one priority is going to be pay off car.
Okay.
Number two is going to be emergency fund. Mm-hmm. And we can have which of those emergency funds, who cares?
Sure.
You know, like which comes, put a little of the pet, little bit in the emergency fund. And then three is going to be travel or goals or things like that. What I'm doing, I'm walking through our no baby steps. And the first step is pay off your debt. And actually, the first step is a 1 month emergency fund, but you've already got there. The second is to pay off the debt. We can put $500 a month towards debt or to the emergency fund, essentially. And you've got $926 left for what you could spend money on. Now, the question is, if I said, hey, you two were left off with $400 for spending money each month on dining out, board games, catering other people's parties, is that enough?
It could be.
Probably.
I think so.
For a month? Yeah.
For 1 month. Yes.
Yeah.
See, what we're doing is, and this is the way I like to do it. I call it pocket money. We got pocket money his and pocket money hers. And the way we do it is whatever you want to spend your money on, who cares? Like, but the question is, if you did that and you each had $200, would you lose your mind or like?
I mean, that's pretty close to what we,
yeah,
kind of feel.
Well,
like
no, I think
things,
we do worse than that.
The numbers say you're spending about $2,000 a month.
Per month.
$2,000 a month on stuff.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm just doing the numbers. Like, I can.
No, I know.
Yeah,
I know you're not. No, I think that makes sense. And like I said, it's those things that are, you know, just like the things that happen behind the scenes, just like that we do without thinking, I think. And we don't practice a lot of restraint when it comes to, yeah, just treating ourselves or going out to eat or yep. meeting friends out.
And you're not really applied for these sinking funds either.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're actually spending more like $2,500 a month. I don't want to set you up for failure and say in February you have this. And by the way, the way I like to do this is best way is actually a prepaid debit card. You put $200 on the debit card and like when your card's empty.
Yes, that's the limit.
You spend too much on the Kickstarter. That's it. It bounces. By the way, I had to remove Kickstarter app and the email. I'm just saying.
Part of the
communications that I feel like I'd miss though.
Oh, there was a withdrawal period.
Yeah. And it's not even just like Kickstarter. Like I have like some of my favorite game maker companies. I'm signed up to them. I'm like, I want to hear what you're doing next.
I got drawn back into Kickstarter when Brandon Sanderson did his last one. And that's now I'm back on the mailing list a little and I'm just not watching it.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah.
What I'm trying to do is find a number that doesn't freak you out, but does challenge you a little.
This freaks me out a little bit, especially just, again, I'm questioning, like, I know what we have in our emergency fund at one point or another came from some of those. We didn't maybe spend $2,500. Maybe we spent half that and we put a little bit into savings and we put a little bit more into savings and went on this trip or went on that trip. Like I said, we budget for the big trips, but then I let little weekend getaways come and don't really count it.
Yeah.
You know, things like that where it's like, yeah, we chip away at the excess that we have in our disposal and don't make a plan for it. And then we somehow arrive at $2,500 a month average.
What happens is we're going to build travel in here and we're going to actually put a certain amount per month. But while we're paying off the car, we have to shift priorities a little bit. Where I'm going, by the way, is by the time you get your tax return, car's completely paid off. Then you got more money here.
That's great.
But I'm trying to like force you to look at it a little harder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the question is, do you want $2,000 a month going towards stuff or do you want $2,000 a month going towards your goals?
Right. Goals.
Goals, obviously.
I'm okay if the answer's stuff, but like then you're literally giving up your future.
No, that's exactly what we're trying to solve for is just, yeah, the, you know, practicing some restraint or even just some knowledgeable guidance towards our, what we do on the day to day, I think is, you know, it's kind of like starting a new health plan, you know, a diet, whatever. You're like, I'm not going to eat the the dessert every night. I'm going to cut back and I'm going to see the benefit of it for it. So that's the goal. That's the intent.
So if we did $300 for each of you.
Oh yeah. I think we can make that work. It's not going to, we're going to bump into it a lot sooner than you think we are, but yeah.
So that means you put $800 out of your regular budget towards the car.
Okay.
Plus the bonus and the tax refund. By the way, we're going to come back. We're not going to give the government a free loan, but I'll come back to it.
I figured not, but yes, I understand.
The result is the car can be paid off in 3-4 months. And now we can be putting money towards the travel. We can put it towards the, you know, better goals. Right now, that 5.25% interest is hurting.
Yeah.
What is effectively happening? I just moved the safety security to the car. I budgeted everything but $14. And you now have a plan for your money for the whole month. How does it feel?
I feel challenged, but excited. I feel like we can do it.
I'd say so.
Matt, what are you thinking?
I think it's a good idea. And, I'm definitely excited to try something new, getting into a new routine.
So, by the way, we're going to find things we didn't budget for. That's okay. And what I want you to do, and we're going to put this in your homework, is I want you to be doing a weekly budget meeting. That means you two sit down and go, did we spend this money? What did happen? Was that budgeted? Now, by the way, technicality on this, your $300 for your pocket money, I don't care how you don't have to account for how you spent it. It's just like, I'm not going over it. Oh, we found out we spent $800 in groceries because I hid the stuff from the party. In that grocery line item. That's more the point.
That could be it. Could be part of it.
Great example of this is people go, well, I went to Costco. Yeah, but you can buy a kayak at Costco. Okay. Like do not call Costco all groceries.
Right. Yeah.
Right. My wife and I, we just got a BJ's put over here and like we do the walkthrough and like, I don't really need any of that, but I'm here for a chicken and, you know, come out with.
Yep. That's easy to do.
Yeah.
Got to keep an eye on it. We're actually going to include a link to our course we call Foundations of Finance, which has budget tips and tricks, all that. I think what you're going to find is that mindless spending, if you start looking at week over week, it'll get better after a few weeks. but the first couple of weeks will probably suck.
That's fair. That makes sense.
The other thing with your pocket money is if you want to roll it over from month to month, that's fine too. You know, so like I have some people like, well, I buy bigger things, so I want to like save my $300. Cool. Somebody wants to spend it all 1 month. Fine. Who cares? It's just got to stay within that way. And then we'll know if this budget was successful by two things. One, you made about $800 payment to the car. And two, you put aside your sinking funds.
Yeah.
If you put aside $500 to the car and we didn't put the sinking fund, that says we spent an extra $800 in that month. You know, it's just building a behavior.
Yeah, it's an accountability structure. It's, you know, not to say that it can't be flexible. It's not the point. It's just more of putting that oversight so you have an understanding.
Right. Yep. Part of the reason why we meet every month is accountability.
Yeah.
You have to come back and go, so how'd that go?
Just motivation for you.
Yeah.
What did we sign up for? Go back to the principal's office. Once you pay off the debt and we have fully funded emergency funds, then we can actually start working on the other goals, which really is not far away for you two. It's just building that habit.
Yeah. I think so too.
We have another episode we'll link to. It's called Forced Adulting. And that's kind of what this is. It's like the stuff we know we need to do, but we don't want to do.
Yep. The uncomfortable things. Yeah.
Putting a little money aside for the house and put a little money aside for the car and put it.
Yep.
Those are the things. Good. So that gets you on there. I'm going to send you also the financial information form, which will pull a whole bunch of information. Next time I'll look through that. That's going to take you an hour or two to fill out. Cause like it asks for a copy of your insurance and a copy of your pay stubs. And so I will look through all of that. And what I'm doing is I'm going, is there anything broken that we need to fix or shove or like push up in the priority list? And the way these are going to work is you're going to bring one or two things to the meeting. I'll bring one or two things to the meeting. It's time to talk about. Usually when we do the financial information form, the next is like, hey, by the way, like your house insurance is not enough, or you know, there's always something. So we're kind of just fixing that stuff. Then we'll start building out your actual financial plan, your long-term. We'll actually like do an estimate and say, hey, what's your financial goal 20 years from now? We'll build all that, but like we do it one block at a time.
Perfect.
You get homework after every meeting. If you have questions in between the meetings, you can always email. And what I'll do is either, if it's something I can answer quick, I'll just send you an answer. If not, I'll say, I'll add that to the meeting, you know, as we'll go through. The other thing to watch out for is something weird will happen the first month on your budget. I'm just telling you. I just don't know what it is. It just, I've done this before. Always something.
It's the curse, you know?
Mm-hmm. Part of it is when you haven't been putting aside for like maintenance and other things, things get deferred maintenance and then become emergencies.
That we're guilty of that for sure. Yeah. Just we're not fix it people. Not to say if we don't see a problem, we won't take care of it. We won't let something sit. But at the same time, yeah, we just don't. We don't proactively like let's get the roof checked out or let's.
But if a light bulb needs changing, I'm on it.
Well, and that's why we put aside the money for the house. Because a great example, the roof, it might be $15,000 the one time you need it, but then next year you might have no maintenance. So we have to put aside the money. That way our emergency fund is not getting killed every time.
True. Yeah. True. Good point.
How are you two feeling? Let me start with Matt. Matt, you got dragged here. How you feeling?
No, I haven't been dragged here. I'm good.
It's a pit admit. We call him the hostage. I'm just saying.
It's all right. I feel pretty good. Yeah, I think it's a good idea for not just a new routine, but also, like you said, like having the homework as adulting. Getting some of those things into our routines and some of our daily things is going to be important, I think, to the success of this whole thing.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, no, and I feel very much like I'm lucky. We're lucky to have alignment in the way that we operate with money. Like we don't have a lot of conflict when it comes to this. We have the same bad habits. So we are extending all the, oh, I know what that's like, you know, and ultimately, you know, when we first got together, we didn't join our finances, you know, until we were married. And then we kind of were like, well, it's probably overdue that we start to actually understand what each other makes. And you know, what did you say, honey?
I said even after. It took us a while after we got married.
I'm trying to think of the timeline on that. Yeah.
I think it probably took about a year even after.
Before we, married. After we got married. So it's like, just
no,
more
I don't
of
want
a.
You to see my money. No, that money's mine.
No. We were more just going, you know, our goals have been aligned for a long time. We should get on the same page about this. And since then, it's actually been even smoother because it's just like we have very good communication. I feel very good communication when it comes to the way we operate. I feel like this is going to be successful. We just need to aim for the same thing and we're going to be good.
Yeah, you two are going in the right direction. I will tell you, first month on the budget is going to stress your communication skills.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's fair.
You'll probably curse my name a few times. That's okay. Because what's happening is we're finally doing mindful spending versus mindless spending.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you really need that? <Like this>.
Yeah. Yep.
And what we do in the budget meetings is once a week, we want to kind of see where we're at. And Rebecca, it's fine. It sounds like you're going to take charge a bit on the finances or, you know, like that's been the hand. But then Matt, your responsibility is to make one change or one adjustment, one something. You can't just say, hey, Rebecca, you handle it all.
Like, yeah.
One person can pay the bills, but we need to be able to watch it together.
Right.
Absolutely. I think the weekly get together on that will be a helpful thing because like the spreadsheet you had up and I have a rudimentary version of just what I could scribble down on what I thought we spent. And I think even that generally speaking, what we pay for, but I think that the details, just being more transparent with that will be great for us. So.
And then we'll be able to work on like, should we save for retirement and where should we invest? Like, but you got to get the foundation done, right?
Mm-hmm. Precisely. Yep.
Other questions?
Not right now. Mm-hmm. I think, let me know what to send your way for the documentation stuff. And then am I going to get a copy of that spreadsheet?
Yep. You get the spreadsheet, okay. You get the homework, so every time you meet, you're going to get homework, things to read, things to watch, things to work on. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to build a money mindset one or two pieces at a time. I'm trying not to overwhelm you.
Thank you.
I know you keep asking for like, do I get to do this? Like you had emailed before. Anything I got to do? No, relax. One at a time. We'll do one piece because it can be way too overwhelming to do it all at once.
That makes sense. Okay.
The other thing I'm going to challenge you as we move forward is we're going to get you to look more at life than just your finances. So life first, then your finances, and we'll come back to that. We're going to get to there. We'll do your estate plan and long-term care. We'll get to all that. Like it'll come. It's just It can only take so much at once.
Yeah. One step at a time. That's perfect.
I just took all of Matt's Kickstarter money. I mean, let's be real on that.
It's all gone now. And I'm glad I got the one before. I just did one today. And that one got right under the rug. So told her about it right beforehand.
Like right before we got on the call. I was like, just so you know, I just bought $90 worth of.
Well, 90 would go under your 400 if that's how you want to do it. But like, then you can't go out to lunch. Like,
right. It's your DoorDash money.
Well, this is the whole point is like DoorDash I think it's a mistake. 1 year sent a client a report for everything they spent for the year at DoorDash.
Ooh.
Yeah, that would be harrowing, especially for us. Like probably like the last year and even before that, it was probably worse. But I mean, 2020 was hard.
2020 was a bad year for that, for sure.
And then it kept going.
All of a sudden, it's a $50 hamburger because of all the fees and the tips. And
yeah.
All, like,
yeah. It's crazy. Yeah.
I'm not bashing DoorDash. It's got a good place. But at some point, the food gets so expensive that it's just
ridiculous.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense for sure.
And then, so we'll get back together in about a month and then work it through. And then for March, your budget's going to change again because we're going to have more paychecks, but we're going to pay off the car. So my hope is by the April budget, we have no debt, and then we can completely change and start working on another thing.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Stay right there.
Challenge accepted.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please consider leaving a rating or review. We'd love to keep the conversation going. Follow Child Free Wealth on social media or email us at podcast@childfreewealth.com. If you're interested in working together, learn more by visiting our website, www.childfreewealth.com. We'll see you next time.